Well, praise God. Good morning, everybody. Everybody doing good? The few that are with us today, maybe the few that are with us online. This is our first Thursday of going Facebook Live so that we can minister to people that are outside of our four walls here. So hopefully we got a crowd. You know, our online crowd has generally been growing. And we want to be able to minister to people out there that have need of healing. There's some people that physically cannot get here. So that's why we're doing this, is because we want to offer people the opportunity to be ministered to that physically cannot be with us today. But if you are able to be here, we do welcome you to come here at High Point Church on Thursday mornings. We'll put the address in the comments so that you can come and we can physically lay our hands on you, because when it comes to healing and when it comes to ministering healing like that, we're not practicing social distancing. Praise God. We are going to absolutely put our hands on you and minister the life of God to you. We saw some great results here in the recent weeks of people being healed of things that had been plaguing them. So we encourage you to come and be able to do that, but we'll do our best to minister to you online, virtually, if we're able to do so. Praise God. So we've got a good word that we want to share with you today. This is something that was not my number one choice of what I would preach the first Thursday that we are doing Healing School Live. I would much rather have done a more foundational, fundamental-type message, or one of those rip-roaring, pew-running, chandelier-hanging-type messages. But, hey, we go with what God gives us, praise God, because He's trying to minister life to us. So I'm going to talk to you today about this is the victory. This is the victory. So you can be opening your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. And for all of you that are joining us online right now, I want to let you guys know what this is all about. What is Healing School? A lot of times people look at this as being is this a Bible college? Is this a seminary? What is this? No, we call it Healing School because God's heart is healing. That's one thing that's crystal clear. When you read the Word of God, you'll find out that healing is a big part of God's heart. And therefore, it needs to be a big part of our heart. It needs to be something that we emphasize, because God wants His people well. And that's one thing that we're established in here for people that have been attending this Healing School for the few years that we've been doing it. God wants people well. God wants people healed, whole, and happy. Hallelujah. And you know, one of the ways we know that, one of the ways this can be proven, look at the way our physical body is. It has in it the capability of healing itself, doesn't it? It fights off sickness and disease. Like when somebody gets a fever, that's basically the body trying to repel some kind of virus or things that are in it. So just by virtue of the fact our physical body fights off sickness and disease should show us that's the way God made us. God made us to be healed. God made us to be whole. But we've also learned here that one thing that's very important to understand about healing is that there is a part we have to play in receiving the healing power of God in our lives. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, one of these aspects of God's healing power in our lives. So I told you to go over to 1 John, and this is a verse that I'm telling you, it should just absolutely thrill you. It's a verse that you should have underlined, highlighted, and have a lot of notes taken concerning it. But 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says this: "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Praise God. So this scripture is telling us that any person that is a born-again child of God, which that's an important point to know. For some of you that are watching us online, you might have never heard the phrase born again before. You might think you're a Christian just because you go to church or because you were even born in the United States of America. There are people that actually think that. But no, the Bible is very clear that we must be born again in order to enter into the kingdom of God. And the reason why is because we have a spiritually fallen nature. We have been born in sin because of what Adam did, his transgression. And so therefore, we have to have a new spiritual nature put on the inside of us. So when we call on the name of the Lord, when we confess His lordship in our life, When that happens, we realize we're a sinner and we call on the Savior, the Bible says that we will be born again. The Holy Spirit will transform our spiritual nature, and now we are spiritually alive again, just like Adam was. But just because we have been physically born again, I mean spiritually born again, doesn't mean things changed physically. Praise God. And so when things do not happen physically in our life, that doesn't mean that God has not done anything about it. This is just, some things are off in the future. These are certain things that we know that God wants to do throughout our life, but also something He's going to ultimately accomplish in our life. And that's why He says after this, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So it's our faith that got us born again, right? I mean, we know it's not by works that men are saved. We're only saved by what? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the work of God, that we believe on the Son that He sent. Amen? And if that's the way we get born again, if that's the way we receive the greatest gift that we could ever receive, the most powerful transformation, the most powerful healing, the most powerful deliverance, anything that we're looking for in this life, the greatest miracle is received by faith. And that's having that old nature taken out and the new nature put in. So if that's the way we receive that, that's got to be by faith. Our faith is the victory that overcomes anything that comes against us in this world, and that includes the healing of our bodies. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, let's go over there real quick. 1 Corinthians 15. This is not going to be your traditional healing message. This is going to be something where I'm going to actually teach on certain verses that I only tackle at funerals. These are usually the only time verses like these are used, at somebody's graveside or something like that. But how many of you know these need to be truths that live in our heart while we're still in the land of the living? And the Lord's led us in this direction. So let's look at it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now the context of this chapter is the resurrection and glorification of our physical bodies. And I'm going to tell you, the revelation that's contained in this chapter is something that is quite foreign to many of us in our Protestant churches today. Because here's the deal. Most people have it ingrained in them that yes, you get saved, yes, you get born again. A lot of people believe that. But basically the mentality is, now my spiritual nature has changed. That's the real me. God doesn't care anything about this body. And that is not true. When you read verses like this, you find out that in the early church, one of the greatest hopes they had was the fact that they would be raised up again, that they would be involved in the resurrection of the just when Jesus would return, when the Messiah would return. And this is something that I just think that a lot of people in the church today don't really have a true revelation of. They're not excited about it. But this is something Paul was excited about, and I believe we need to renew our minds to as well. So in verse 50, it begins by saying this, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption." Now we're talking about the kingdom of God here on Sunday mornings at High Point, right? And this verse right here talks about what can and what cannot actually inherit the kingdom of God. He says here that flesh and blood cannot, it is impossible for it to be able to inherit God's kingdom. Why? Because God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And the only thing that can inherit spiritual things are spiritual things. So the whole point that he's making right here is your body must become a spiritual thing. It's not now. Flesh and blood, it's carnal. There's sin ingrained in it. The curse abides in it. And that's where a lot of things like sickness and disease come from. But there is a promise that when Jesus splits those eastern skies, we will be changed and our physical body, which is in the ground, will be put back together some supernatural way, and it will receive the resurrection life of God. It will become a new spiritual heavenly body. Praise God. And so that's what he's saying right here, is it's not going to be our physical nature that can inherit God's kingdom. Likewise, it's going to have to be a spiritual new nature that takes place in us. Praise God. So then notice this. It says in verse 51, I love the terminology here. It says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I'm going to tell you something. I rejoiced in that verse right there, because you know what that means? I have a promise from God that you're going to change. You got a promise from God that I'm going to change. Hallelujah. I can stand on this as being something that God's going to change each and every one of us. How many of you could use a little bit of changing in your life and in your friend's life? Praise God. This is a promise that we shall all be changed, and this is an exciting thing. Because notice he says, behold, I tell you a mystery. Now, what is Pastor Trey's favorite definition of the word behold? It means to look. It's the word blepo in the Greek. What is his favorite definition for behold? Check this out. It's an emphatic word, like with an exclamation point at the end of it, that basically tells us this is something you need to look at. I want you to see something. Look. I tell you a mystery. And what he's saying when he says this phrase, is another way you could translate it is, let me let you in on a secret. I'm going to tell you, this is a secret to many Christians. This is something that has not been revealed to many different people. But Paul's saying, look, I want to let you in on a secret. It's something that's awesome. It's something that's gospel. It's something that will change your outlook on life. He says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, it's interesting that he uses the word sleep here, isn't it? Right? It's obvious what he's talking about, right? He's talking about what? Physical death. But notice the terminology change. He calls it sleeping. Now, I know there's all kinds of doctrines out there of what is soul sleep and what is being referred to here. But no, this is just another way of referencing death. Now, I don't know about you, but I certainly think it sounds a whole lot better to call a Christian who has left, their spirit has left their body and they're now in the ground in that casket. I think it's a whole lot better to refer to them as sleeping than dying, isn't it? That's a little bit more comforting. In fact, I'm reminded now of what Jesus said when he went and raised Lazarus from the dead. You remember when the news came to him that, behold, he whom you love is sick? And Jesus ended up waiting for 3 days in that particular area. And then the Holy Spirit then led him after 3 days, which I got my theory on why that happened. It wasn't because Jesus was trying to bring more glory to himself. It was because Jesus knew it was a ploy of the devil to get him off this planet sooner. And if he wouldn't have been led by the Holy Spirit there, something bad would have happened. So that's another sermon for another day. But basically what he ends up doing was after 3 days, he said, hey, we're going to go wake up Lazarus. He said, our friend sleeps, but we're going to go wake him up. And his disciples basically questioned that. It's like, what are you calling that? And then Jesus had to basically plainly tell him, he's dead. But for your sakes, it's good that I'm here. Praise God, because I'm going to go raise him from the dead. But Jesus didn't even want to refer to him as dying. He referred to him as sleeping. In fact, I'm reminded now of what Paul's terminology was when he referred to his death. He says over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, I believe it is, the time of my departure is at hand. Now that sounds a lot better than dying, doesn't it? To say, my departure, I'm just simply leaving. But I'm telling you, the way we refer to things like that shows what we believe about them. And it's important for you and I to come to a place to where we really see ourselves as a spiritual being. I know Pastor Robert hammers that here at Healing School, is that we got to see ourselves as a spiritual being and not just a fleshly blood and body being. Now, the physical body is important, but we got to know who's the real us. The Apostle Peter said, the time's coming that I must put my tent off. What's he talking about? That I would leave my body, and he refers to his body like a tent. I'm telling you, the mentality is completely different than many of us. But what do? When we see somebody laying in that casket, we look at them and we're like, man, I'm going to miss you so much. And we talk to them like that's them. That shouldn't be the way it is with us. Because we know that to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. So when somebody dies, as Pastor James reveals to us over in James chapter 2, he said, as the body without the spirit is dead, likewise, faith without works is dead. So we know that a body dies when the spirit leaves it. And the spirit is the real us. Amen? So the real us, when it leaves this physical body, we're basically, it's like we're putting off a tent. It's like we're departing. The real us is going on to another place. And I'm telling you, this is something that we have got to renew our minds to. Because I'm telling you, this is a big issue when it comes to healing, and we're going to get into that today. So here in 1 Corinthians 15, let's continue reading. Verse 51 again. It says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Notice this. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, that's just an old English way of talking about blinking. Amen. And you know how that is? I'm telling you, you know, I play sports. You know, I played sports in my life. I shouldn't be playing no more. But when I've played certain things, there was one of those things that when I'd stand up to bat and the ball's coming, I would make sure I blinked a few times before the pitcher actually delivers the ball. Because the last thing you want to be doing is blinking when that ball's coming, right? Because it can disrupt things. Well, I'm here to tell you that this blink that you have, blink with me real quick. Just blink real quick. That's how quick your physical body is going to be changed. It's not going to be a process. This is going to be something that happens, boom, like lightning. Glory to God. So it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Praise God. So praise God, we're going to all be changed. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death, say it with me, death is swallowed up in victory. In other words, death is meat. It's food to the victor. Praise God. I mean, it's going to be absolutely consumed by this victory that we're talking out about today. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, what in the world, Pastor, does this have to do with healing? It has everything to do with healing. I'm not trying to push our healing off to some future sweet by and by thing, but I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest deterrents to people receiving their healing is the fear of death. The fear of dying is one of the biggest things that I believe keeps people from receiving their healing. Because I like to ask people this question. Why do you want to be healed? Say you have some terminal disease or something like that. Why do you want to be healed? And it seems like an odd question, but I think it's a legitimate question. Because ultimately, if you were to ask most people, and they were totally transparent, really knew what was in their heart and would say the right thing. I'm here to tell you that most people that have been diagnosed with some terminal disease and death is imminent for them based on what the doctors tell them, that the reason they want to be healed is because they're afraid of dying. And it should not be that way. I believe we've got people right now that are watching us online that this is you, that you have been afraid of dying. And ultimately, that is the reason why, even out of desperation, that you cry out and that you want people to pray for you and things like that. And you need to have people pray for you. There's nothing wrong with that. But like we made the point of at Healing School last week, why did Job offer up all those sacrifices for his children? Because he was afraid that lest they had cursed God and God was going to judge them. And then he goes on to say what? The thing I have greatly feared has come upon me. It's all right to ask for prayer. It's all right to come to healing meetings. It's all right to believe God for healing. In fact, it's encouraged. But what is not all right is when we do it because we are afraid if it doesn't happen, out of desperation or because we're clinging on to something. The reason we want to be healed, I believe, is listed in Philippians chapter 1. Let's look at it. Philippians chapter 1. I mean, if there was anybody that had a revelation of what we're talking about today, it was the Apostle Paul. He understood some things. And he understood some things about death versus life and what's the purpose of both of them. And I believe Philippians chapter 1 reveals this to us. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Notice this. Philippians 1, 21. He says, For to me. Yeah, Philippians 1, 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, when he starts off with those first three words, for to me, what is he saying? In my opinion, according to my estimation, this is what God's revealed to me, and this is the attitude, this is the mentality that I have in my life. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, while I'm alive, it's all about Jesus Christ. That is the whole purpose for me being here. And I'm telling you, that needs to be a revelation to many Christians. Because there are a lot of born-again believers out there that they do not live like this. It's not all about Jesus. They're not seeking first the kingdom of God in every area of their life. But it should be the whole purpose while we're here. But to die is gain. Praise God. That means, the word gain means it's more advantageous for us. In fact, the Greek word that's used for gain there literally means to make a profit or to make money. I did a funeral not too long ago. It was actually a few years ago of a guy that had unfortunately and prematurely, in my opinion, passed away in a motorcycle accident. And his last name was Money. And you know what I said? I used this verse right here. I said, hey, Cliff made money today. Now, that might not always comfort people, but what it basically is telling you is, it's better for him. It's better for us if we're in that place. Amen? Because to go on to be with the Lord, as he goes on to say here, it's far better. It's awesome. Praise God. Look at verse 22. Verse 22, he goes on to say, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. So basically he's saying, if I continue to live in this flesh, notice the terminology, if I live on in the flesh is referring to what? His physical body. So what's the I? His spiritual person, the real him, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If I, my spiritual nature, continue to live in this physical body, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. So in other words, the point he was making is, as I continue to live in my physical body, then I have more of an opportunity to sow up treasures in heaven. Which is the whole point. You know that? The whole point is about making investments while we're here. Verse 23. For I am hard pressed between the two. Now think about that. Is that you? I mean, if the doctor came to you today and told you, you're going to be dead in a couple of weeks. Would you, in that situation, say, well, I know the Lord's given me a choice, like Paul revealed here, what I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm kind of having a hard time deciding which one I want to do. Do I want to die and go on to be with the Lord because it's gain? Or do I want to stay here? Most people, I'm telling you, in their heart of hearts, they are holding on to here. They do not want to. And I'm telling you that it's because even though we sing songs, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. We'll sit there and sing that, beat our tambourines, dance around about that. But when the doctor comes and tells you you're going there, we fall apart like a $2 suitcase. Amen. Because why? The truth is not living in our heart the way it needs to. So what we need to do, we need to get the mentality Paul had. This needs to be our mentality, that we're hard-pressed between the two. I'm having a hard time deciding. And the doctor comes and tells you, hey, you're going to be gone here within a certain period of time. Ah, man, well, ultimately, doctor, I appreciate your opinion here, but it's ultimately my choice whether I live and die, because I serve a healing, miracle-working God. But you know something? It's kind of a difficult decision. Do I want to go on and be with the Lord because it's better for me? Or do I want to stay here to continue to minister to other people and receive more fruit from my labor? And notice what he goes on to say. He says, I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. See, there's not even a comparison. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and the joy of faith. So Paul makes a decision right here in the middle of his explanation. Did you know something? It's better for me to go on to be with the Lord. It's gain, it's advantageous, it's profitable for me. Did you know something? It's more needful for you guys. So guess what? I'm going to choose to stay here. His mentality was this, that I'm going to stay here. I'm going to choose to live and not die so that I can continue to declare the works of the Lord and help other people. See, I'm telling you, this mentality that I'm describing to you right now is not in most people. Most people want to not go there because they're truly unseen. It's unseen in their heart. What will really happen when they breathe their last breath? But my mentality needs to be, I want to be healed, I want to be made whole, I want to be delivered, and I want to receive everything God has for me. Why? Because it's better for you for me to be here. Because why? For me to live as Christ. And I'm seeking first the kingdom of God in everything that I'm doing. And people need what I have to offer. And I'm telling you, this is a mentality I have embraced, that if, God forbid, I ever get a negative report and they tell me that something's going to happen, I'm going to fight to live for this reason, for you. Because I know people need the gospel that God's called me to proclaim. Amen? It's not because I'm afraid of what's going to happen. It's because I know that it's better for you and ultimately better for me. Because if I'm seeing people's lives changed, if people are getting the gospel, guess what ends up happening? More fruit for my labor. As Paul was saying right here. So it's a completely different mentality of why we're believing God for healing in our life. Now, back over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. So do you see why you need to want to be healed? It's not because I just need a better life. I need to be relieved of some pain. I need to be relieved of some suffering. Or because I'm afraid of dying. It's because I need to be healed, healthy, so I can help other people. And I'm going to tell you something. For me to live free from sickness and disease, for you to live free from sickness and disease, certainly frees us up physically, emotionally, and mentally, and even financially to help other people, doesn't it? And I'm going to tell you, baby, if you will have this mentality, if your mentality is, God, I want to be healed, I want to receive everything you have for me because I want to be at full force able to minister and help other people, I'm going to tell you that is a quicker way right there because it's a more pure motive of why I want it. And we're getting rid of that motivation that I'm just afraid and it's self-preservation. Amen. So he says right here in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, death is swallowed up in victory. Look at verse 55. And I love this right here. This is so awesome. Because notice that this person that was prophesying this, which I believe this was in the book of Hosea when it was quoted, that they were inspired by the Holy Spirit talking to death and hell. They're addressing it. And they're almost chiding it and mocking it. I love this, because it's a mentality right here, baby. Look at this. He says, oh, death. In other words, death, I want you to hear me. Are you listening, death? Hell, can you hear me right now? Where is your sting? Where is your victory? See, I'm telling you, most people don't talk like this. You know why? I've had people tell me this before. You ready for this? I'll be talking about the devil being a zero, which we're going to talk about this morning. And people will say, oh, don't you know, brother, the devil might hear you? Yes! I hope he hears me, praise God. Because when you have confidence of who you are and whose you are, it will almost kind of come across like this. Death, where's your sting? See, most people won't talk like that. You know why? They're afraid they'll jinx it. They're afraid that it'll bring some negative thing on their life if they start talking this way. But that's because they're not confident. We need to be confident that death has no sting against us, praise God. A story I like to tell, and I've told this many different times, mainly at funerals, but it's an important illustration to show us. When he says, oh, death, where is your sting? I heard a story one time of a man driving down the road with his son. And they were in this vehicle on this long dirt road, and the boy was deathly allergic to bee stings. And while they're driving down the road on this summer afternoon, a bee flies into the car. They had the windows cracked, and a bee flies into the car, and it's buzzing around, and the boy's petrified. Because he knows if that thing stings him, it could spell death for him. And then the father sees it, and like on The Karate Kid, praise God, you know, I probably lost a lot of you there, but you know, the chopsticks, you know, getting the fly, the father goes, whew! He grabs that bee in his hand. And then he squeezes his palm. But then he opens his palm, and the bee starts flying around again. And the boy takes all the air out of the car again. And he says, son, you don't have to fear anymore. And he points at his palm, shows his son the stinger of the bee in the palm of his hand. He said, because I've taken the sting for you. That's an illustration of what Jesus has done for us. The reason why we can chide death is because Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, has taken the sting of death away. Therefore, it has no power to harm us. And I'm telling you, when that lives in our heart, we can almost kind of have a little bit of an arrogant flair to us about death. Oh, death, where is your sting? You got nothing on. Praise God. And then he says, oh, Hades, which is another reference to hell, where is your victory? Where's your victory? I mean, this is trash talking and smack talking in a nutshell. I don't know what the difference is between trash talking and smack talking. Some of you might be able to help me on that, but they're essentially the same. I think one's being talked trash to, the other's being talked smack to, praise God. He says, where's your sting and where's your victory? You know, it's fun because this is something that we like to do in the Dickerson household. You might actually be very unimpressed with the competitive flair that is in the Dickerson household. When me and Levi play games together and stuff like that, I mean, we're trash talking. We're smack talking. We talk just like that to each other. In fun, of course. But praise God, that's the mentality we got to have when it comes to things like death and hell. We're not afraid of it. Why? It has no sting. It's been taken because Jesus took it for us, praise God. So he says this, and then he says, verse 56, look at this. This is awesome. The sting of death is what? Sin. So why does death not have a sting anymore? Or what's the result of that? If the sting of that death is sin, that's what Jesus took for us. He took the sin, and when he took the sin, he took the repercussions of said sin, which is sickness, disease, poverty, lack, and everything else that sin has brought on this planet. He took that stinger for us, praise God. And the strength of sin is the law. Verse 57, but look at this. But thanks be to God. Come on, say it with me. Thanks be to God. Say it again. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What an awesome verse. Again, another one you should have highlighted in your Bible and you should be meditating on day and night. Thanks be to God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go over to Hebrews chapter 2 and let's address something real quick about this fear of death. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's look at a little bit more about what Jesus took for us on the cross. I'm telling you, if this don't light your fire, if this don't get you smiling and make you want to dance, it ain't living in your heart the way. This needs to be our everything. Because it changes everything in my life, praise God. Verse 14, Hebrews 2 and 14. Inasmuch then, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. Somebody say, praise God. You know why? Because Jesus had to. He had to partake of flesh and blood. He had to become a physical being and come and tabernacle among us because that was the only way to redeem man. He had to do it in a flesh and blood body. Identifying with us in our fallenness, so that we could identify with his resurrection. He himself likewise shared in the same, that through death, he might destroy. Now I am so glad that that was the word that was used. Destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil, in case you don't realize it. The one who had the power of death. And how did he have the power of death? Because the first Adam, who partook of flesh and blood, when he sinned and when he trespassed, when he transgressed, he gave that power over to Satan. He gave the keys over to the devil, and the devil became the god of this world. So what he said right here, Jesus, let's go back to that verse again, Jesus came that through his death to destroy him, the devil, who had the power of death. Now, the word destroy is a very interesting word. You look it up, and it basically means to make of none effect, to make idle. But I like one expositor. He said this. He said it's to make something a complete zero. That's what Jesus did. Jesus made the devil a complete zero. Not a one, not a two, not a half of a percent. He is nothing because of what Jesus did to him for us. Therefore, the one who had the power of death has been absolutely rendered inoperative, and he has no power over us. Let's look at a couple of verses that echo this. You can hold your place there in Hebrews. Go to 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. Man, I'm telling you, I'm excited about preaching this today. If none of y'all would have showed up today, I'm preaching to one person. And that's me, praise God. I know some of you else are receiving this too. But this is an awesome healing message. Because what we're doing is we're taking away any bit of foothold the devil has in our hearts to render us inoperative from receiving what God has. 1 John 3, look at verse 8. Says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Notice this now. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Now, you know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that say this is the purpose why Jesus came. This was the purpose for Jesus coming in a physical body. This is the purpose for Jesus going to the cross. But here's a big one. The purpose of the Son of God being manifested for us is that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, it seems to echo what we just read over there in Hebrews chapter 2, doesn't it? Now, the word destroy here, though, is a different word. It's not the same word that was used over there in Hebrews 2. This word destroy literally means to loose. Or, we might say, to untie something. To untie something. So what this means is Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, came to untie us where the works of the devil were working in. He completely loosed us and made us free. A story I like to use that illustrates this is, I believe it was a true story, is this one farmer one time, he had a bunch of goats. He owned a goat farm. And he got a call in the middle of the night that there was somebody that jumped the fence and took a bunch of his goats, had them in the back of a truck, had tied their front legs together with a rope, tied their back legs with a rope, threw them in the back of his truck, and he was hauling off with them. So when they went to go trail the guy to be able to find him, they found, and this went on for hours and hours, then when they went to go find him, they found over in the ditch one of those goats laying in the ditch with its legs up in the air, tied up. And he went over and found out the goat was still alive. And so he went over and took his pocket knife out and cut the rope for the front legs, cut the rope on the back leg. And guess what the goat did? He continued to lay there with his legs together. Why? Because he had been bound so long that he had identified with the bondage, so that even when his master had loosed him, he still acted. I wonder how many Christians, I wonder how many sheep are like that goat, that Jesus Christ has set us free, but we still identify with our bondage. I'm here to tell you this is why we got to get this revelation, because one of the things we've been loosed from is sickness, disease, and infirmity. And if we're continuing to do this, it's because our mind is not renewed to what Jesus has done. See, what this farmer did then, was after it was like this, you know what the farmer did after that? After it stayed there like this, after he cut the ropes off, then he finally just got frustrated with the goat and smacked it on its rear end. Pow! And that goat, whoop, hopped up on all fours. I think the Lord needs to give some of us a little spanking, praise God, amen, and just give us a little whip on the rear end so that we'll get up out of our bondage, praise God. Just like Jesus took Lazarus and said what? He said, Lazarus, come forth. And guess what happened? A miracle happened. He was made alive again. But he came out hopping in his grave clothes, didn't he? And Jesus had to tell him, loose him and let him go. I'm here to tell you, God has sent his servants today to proclaim to you that you've been loosed and you've been let go. It's time to take off those grave clothes and walk in the freedom, victory that Jesus Christ has given us. Can I get an amen? Can I get at least two amens? Praise God. Amens online as well. Praise God. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 2. Ooh, I love it. So the devil has been... His works have been loosed from us. Now look at here at Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. This is a good one. One of my favorite verses. It depends on what translation you have of how this reads. I've seen all different kinds of words, but I like the New King James. It says, having disarmed, say disarmed, disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. In what? In the cross that he just mentioned. So through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything Jesus went through and did, he has made a public spectacle of triumph over them. All these principalities and powers, which are all those that work for Satan, he's disarmed them. You know, when a conquering king used to go into a nation and would absolutely go in there, and one of the words is spoil, and spoil the enemy, you know what they would do? After they would do this is usually they would humiliate them. They would take the king and all those that survived the battle, they'd strip them down. They'd, of course, they'd take their weapons away, but they'd also take their clothes off. And they would parade them back into their nation, bound up, humiliated in their defeat. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily the picture of exactly what happened in heaven after Jesus was raised from the dead, but I'm here to tell you there was some sort of humiliation that took place. And that is what our King did for us. He disarmed them. Now, I love that. He disarmed them. That puts into a new perspective that Old Testament verse we like to quote all the time. Brother, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Right? How many of you know that was Old Testament mentality? That was pretty doggone good. It had been pretty nice that all these guys got all these weapons on me, all the devils of hell, they still got their weapons, but those weapons actually won't harm me. They won't prosper against me. Well, according to the New Testament, they don't even have the weapons anymore. Jesus came and took the gun from them. Took the sword from them. Took the knife from them. Now, the devil's only effective weapon is the illusion that he even has an effective weapon. Let me say that again. The devil's only effective weapon today is the illusion that he even has an effective weapon. In other words, if he can come in like that guy that robs the liquor store with his finger in his pocket, and he can convince that clerk to give him everything that's in that safe and that cash register because he's convinced him he's got something in his pocket that can harm him, then guess what? That clerk might give him everything that's in the store. We don't need to be like that clerk because we need to be reading the manifest. We need to be reading the catalog that tells us that he has no weapon against us. So even when the devil comes in and tells you, I'm going to steal everything from you, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to do all these different things in your life, that we know the truth. We know. That's just your finger in your pocket, devil. You ain't got nothing that can harm me. And even to the effect that we respond and say, oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, principalities and powers, where's your gun? Show it to me. Well, and he'll start hem-hawing around. No, I know you ain't got it because the Bible says that Jesus Christ has disarmed you. So even you can come in here and you can flap your gums all day and say, I've got something that can hurt you. I can do all these different things to you. In fact, we like to say it this way. When the devil comes and says he's going to kill you and he's going to steal your family from you and he's going to take all your money and he's going to rob you of your health, what do? You rejoice. What? How are you supposed to rejoice? This is why. Because the Bible says he's the father of all lies and there's no truth in him. So if he comes and tells you, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to rob your health from you, I'm going to do all these different things, then your response is, whoop, the opposite must be the truth. Whoop, there it is. Praise God. Because that's the truth. That's what God said. And I'm telling you, this mentality right here transforms our standpoint. We are not the sick trying to get healed. I'll say it to this side. We are not the sick trying to get healed. We are the healed, the victorious, the conquerors whom the devil is trying to sell sickness to. And the time we come to that mentality and we're like, nope, this isn't mine. This isn't who I am. This isn't what Jesus did to me. The devil's got nothing that he can do to me. And I'm now operating at not trying in desperation to get something from God, but I am resisting what the devil is trying to force upon me. When I get that mentality right there, when you embrace that, it's a completely different perspective. That's why the Bible says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now go back over to Hebrews and we're going to start wrapping this up. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all online, but I'm glad I came today and I'm glad that you are joining us. Praise God. We're back in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's read verse 14 again. says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil." And look at this one. "And release those who through what? Fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So Jesus Christ came to destroy the devil, make him a complete zero, disarm him, and loose us in the process, so that you and I can be released, who through the fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. You know what this verse tells me? It tells me, it tells you, that one of the main reasons that we are subject to the devil's bondage in our life is through the fear of death. Notice this, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In other words, if I have this fear of dying, and it's ultimately what's going on the inside of the core being of me, then it can actually promote me continuing to remain in bondage for all my lifetime. That's powerful. So I've got to eliminate the fear. Because listen, just as faith is the currency by which I inherit anything in the kingdom of God, we made that point earlier, right? Just as faith is what causes me to inherit everything from God, fear can cause me to inherit things from the devil. Fear is faith in the devil. That's my definition for fear. It's just faith in the devil. It's believing what the devil has told us and allowing that to become the dominant truth in our life. Because ultimately, we're not supposed to be fearing anything. What God said. Amen. So I got to get this thing out of me. I got to start to trust God and believe Him so that I'm not subject to bondage and sickness and disease and different things like that are part of that bondage in our lives. So the point that I'm making to you today is that we need to eliminate this core thing that might be on the inside of us where I'm terrified of what happens that if I breathe my last breath, I don't want to die, I don't want to leave because I'm holding on to my life so much. We can get rid of that, knowing the devil has no power over us. The sting has been removed. We have been loosed. We are free. We're like that goat that is free, and whether we realize it or not, when we get that revelation on the inside of us, I'm telling you, we are now in position to receive from God what He says is our inheritance. And I really feel in my heart right now that there are people that are joining us online that you might have had a death sentence put over. The doctor might have told you you are not going to make it and given you little to no odds of surviving. I'm telling you, this was a word for you. You need to receive this as revelation from the Father. Because like I said earlier, this was not what I would have chosen to preach on today. I would have much rather done something else, but the Lord really put it on my heart because I believe there are people out there that will watch this today, maybe you're here physically present, that you need to know that you don't have to fear everything from death to the things that the devil would try to bring in your life today. There is hope for you to know that I can believe God because I have a purpose for being here and I need to fight for my right to continue to stay here on this planet and party, praise God. For the kingdom of God, for God doing awesome things in our life. And I get an amen. Well, let's stand on our feet then, praise God. I want to pray for our online crowd before we end our live video today. If you are that person that I was talking to today that are watching us, comment and let us know who that is. And we'll be happy to continue to pray for you. We'll actually put your name down and pray for you consistently here on Thursday mornings. But we do encourage you to come. If you've had a death sentence put over you, get over here and let us lay our hands on you and let's believe God together to know God has a plan for us. We don't have to fear death, that we don't have to embrace the mentality of defeat. We are victorious. You are more than a conqueror. You are a part of the victory. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. We appreciate everybody that's joining us online today. And before we sign off, I want to lift up you today. If you need healing in your body, I want you to do something, a contact point right now. Touch your device screen. If it's a tablet, if it's your phone, touch the screen as much as you can right now. Just put there like we are joining hands right now. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I say to you, be made whole now in Jesus' name. I command that sickness, I command that disease to leave your body. I command cancer to die from the roots. And as Jesus cursed the fig tree, I curse cancer from the roots and speak life and healing into your physical flesh. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but spirit can. So in the spirit right now, we release life in your flesh and in your blood. I believe people are watching us that have been having heart issues, maybe irregular heartbeats, tightness of chest, things such as that, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you, and you're afraid of it. You've been afraid by the symptoms, the small things, and the devil's been coming, and like that guy with his finger in his pocket, has been telling you that it's this and it's that. It is imperative that you respond back and say, no, I will not fear. What can man do to me? God can sustain you. God can heal you today. And you've got to receive that victory. Got to have a little bit of that swagger that God is for you. He's with you. Praise God. And for those out there that might be watching us that have been dealing with the effects of COVID, you might not currently have it, but you have had it, but you've had a hard time shaking the symptoms. That you still are coughing, that you still have tightness of chest, that you don't have the energy level. In the name of Jesus, I say, let the weak say, I am strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And know that God is healing you. And say it right now. Say, God's healing me. God's given me strength. I say that I am strong. I am strong. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of of His. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Shekiri Samonko Shekiyam. Groch Nemesti. Thank you, Jesus. And I see people are dealing with oppression and depression out there. There are individuals that are watching this that you've just been living under a cloud. And I'll tell you, the devil has just, it's like the devil has put a potato sack over you and has been beating you with a stick. He's been beating you down, and you're even feeling it physically. You need to know where that comes from. The Bible says, therefore, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. You got to know what's God, you got to know what's the devil, so you know what to submit to and what to resist. I'm telling you, those feelings of condemnation, oppression, depression that are coming all over you are not from God. God's not in the business of condemning and bringing darkness. Those things are not of Him. And you might say, I've opened myself up to it. I've made mistakes. Well, who hasn't? We've all made mistakes, praise God. But Jesus Christ has made the solution for our mistakes. Receive your forgiveness and know that you can come faithfully to Him and He is faithful and just to forgive you. In Jesus' name. Ha-ha. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the victory. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. We appreciate all of you joining us online today. Again, give us a thumbs up and comment if you are watching this today to let us know you're out there and if the Lord was speaking to you, particularly there at that ministry time. But we're going to sign off for today and ask you to tune in again. Every week, we're going live at 8:30, and we'll start, usually about 10:35 with the teaching. And we just encourage you to set a reminder so that you can come and join us. But we're so glad you joined us today. And for all of you that joined us here live, praise God, we're going to minister to you now. But we're going to sign off today, and we say, God bless you in Jesus' name.